Today's episode is brought to you by Kevel, the API-first SaaS solution proudly ushering in the retail media renaissance with their groundbreaking Retail Media Cloud. If you're sick of sharing your revenue or unimpressed by current black box solutions, there is another way, and we're not talking about building from scratch or going it alone. Kevel can help you optimize your on-site sponsored listings and boost your ROI. Help your retail media platform stand out with captivating user experiences. And best of all, you maintain full control of your data with our zero-touch data processing. The flexibility of Kevel's Retail Media Cloud is the solution built for you. To learn more, go to kevel.com/listen. That's kevel.com/listen.
Welcome to Marketecture, where you can get smart fast with in-depth interviews of leading technology executives. I am Ari Paparo. I'm joined today by Dave Helmerich, the Chief Commercial Officer of Innovid. Dave, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks, Ari. Good to be here as well. Appreciate it.
So quick editorial note, Innovid is actually an advertiser on the podcast right now, but this is not a paid promotion. This is an editorial interview that I chose to put on the calendar. So a lot of people know Innovid, buy-side ad serving, video ad serving, but let's take it from the top and like go through what products you offer and what customers use it and what your distinguishing features are.
Sure. Great question. And you're right. You know, we've talked about this quite a bit just in the industry and you and I have, you know, a lot of people recognize the name, understand the business in some way because we've been around for now 17 years. And the company was created to capitalize on the ability for consumers to engage with TV, right? We really started down this interactive TV path. And that's the business that Zvika and Tal and others built 15, 17 years ago. And more recently, we're a suite of products for TV. And if you think about this from a software perspective, you know, we're an enterprise software platform for the creation, delivery, measurement, and now optimization of TV and digital more broadly. But I run into a lot of people who are like, oh, I love Innovid, love what you do. And then the next conversation is, or remind me again, sort of everything that you do. So we do spend a lot of time sort of helping the industry understand in more detail, what do we have for our creative tech? How do we actually help brands and agencies build more interactive units? How do they actually use that, you know, our creative composer software tools to integrate with their creative suite so you can build, obviously, units that can be used for creative optimization or personalization or sort of whatever you want to call that. Second part, and you started talking about is an ad server, right? We help deliver CTV impressions and digital impressions for some of the largest brands in the world. We saw, I think last year, over 380 billion TV impressions. And we deliver, you know, 1.3 billion, 1.4 billion CTV impressions a day. It's a big part of our ad server, mostly working with brands and agencies. The third part, as a result of the TV Squared acquisition we did a number of years ago, now a little over 2 years ago, we brought in measurement. So not just for TV, but for linear, giving brands the ability not just to measure reach and frequency, which are very, very simple, but more broadly, is my media performing and what are the outcomes associated with that? So did it actually result in the action? And then last, as part of Harmony, but as a part of a broader suite, we have introduced the capability to take those signals from measurement and insights and drive that back into the creative and delivery capability to just optimize the experience without inserting a person in the loop, right? So, you know, fingers on keys are not required to do optimization. They shouldn't be required to do optimization.
Right. Yeah. And I was at the launch of the Harmony project a couple of weeks ago at New York Stock Exchange. So I want to talk about that. But let's get the basics down first. All right. So you laid it out. There's four product lines. Let's do one at a time.
Sure.
Let's do creative first. So the first time I actually heard of Innovid was when Zvika and Tal had this demo of like having a Heinz ketchup bottle floating around on top of a video. And I think that was kind of fun, but not where it ended up.
Right.
So what are the creative services? How do they work?
Yeah. And the creative services are a set of tools, right? So it's effectively helping using our, what we call Composer Suite to do three things. One, make sure that our customers are using the tools they love. So, you know, whether it's After Effects or Photoshop or even Web Designer. So our software integrates into those tools and it does things like versioning, you know, exporting and importing designs. But the ability to sort of do support for interactive units and provide capability for creatives sort of from creative tech. And then, you know, you can preview those ads, but it's a builder, right? It gives our customers the ability to sort of do plug and play strategies on creative and use frameworks that cut the creative process fairly significantly, and then make those units available for delivery, either in DCO or even interactivity. I don't know if you watched, I don't know if you watched the Super Bowl, or if you, or if you did, where you watched it. But if you watched it on Paramount Plus, when they were doing ads for things like Tracker or Ghost or Halo on the bottom of the unit, you could, with your remote, add that show to your watch list. So that was a result of using a creative template, adding an engagement thing, interacting with your remote. And, you know, I admittedly added Halo and I watched the entire season as a result of that.
So how does your creative builder manage the incredible diversity of surface points in which these ads appear? I mean, it ranges from dumb TVs, smart TVs, internet-enabled devices, everything in between.
Yeah, I mean, the easiest way to sort of get into how that happens is we have an SDK on, you know, all of these. And I can't say all, right? Because every time I wake up, there's another app. You know, there's another, another thing on Roku or somewhere, but... You know, our SDK is integrated with the majority of those sources to create that ability for not just interactivity, but to make sure that we understand versioning, make sure we understand sort of what creatives to build. We know how to pre-build all of these things for virtually every endpoint, whether it's 8K or 4K or 1080p and every size under the sun.
Right. I assume that the ad is a fallback, so you're not limited to only running on places your SDK appears.
No, of course not. Of course not. Yeah.
That slides very well into ad serving. So it's a buy-side ad server. So
correct.
Your customers are brands and agencies, and they're using you to mostly to get sort of unified reporting and apples-to-apples comparisons, right?
Correct.
So there's not much to say about ad serving, especially buy-side ad serving. But I guess I would ask, I have two areas of questioning. First is, what sort of unique insights or metrics do you bring from the fact that you're a specialist in CTV? So let's ask that question first.
Yeah, I think the first way to think about it is we have built up this business and working with brands, both large and small. And I think unique insights are important, not just where are you delivering? What are some of the information from that delivery, even to like the very detailed log level analytics for brands and making sure that they understand, you know, what's actually happening across all of these and not forcing them into another environment to write SQL queries, to actually pull data out of an environment to understand what's being delivered. I think that's a big part of it. We have done the work to make sure that we are able to deliver in nearly every environment that matters. And we also do integrations with all of the partners that matter as part of that, whether that's viewability or fraud or IDT, and doing that natively in the environment via APIs versus having to do complex perturbations and operations to make sure that you're getting the insights that you need. But that's a big part of what we have invested in to make sure it's an easy to use software platform, whether it's us providing the services for brands and agencies or the agencies serving it themselves.
And did the brands compare data from Innovid or integrate data from Innovid with currency providers, be it Nielsen or any of the emerging currency providers?
Yeah, I mean, we do. Anyone that has used us knows that we have a partnership with Nielsen. I'm sure it's happening, right? I'm sure it's happening. We don't know at what point we deliver data into a brand or an agency's environment, whether they're using it for MTA, for MMM, for other sort of insights. We have decided as a company to not be an alt currency and not be a currency contender. We would rather focus on things that are ultimately what brands care about in the future, which is, am I reaching the right people in the right environment? Am I helping with fragmentation? And ultimately, are they getting what they bought?
I guess what I'm asking is, are your metrics, is your data compatible with, let's say, Nielsen DAR, if that's what they're using as the currency? And how does your integration with Nielsen help?
Yeah, the integration with Nielsen is a big part of our business. We are natively integrated. And I say natively, we have, you know, Nielsen integrated in the platform. It's there via API. if a brand is using DAR and wants Nielsen on a campaign, they add it to the delivery. And I don't know if it's an either or in some cases, you know, it may be in addition to, or they want to make sure that they're getting what they contracted for, what they expected.
All right. So the second general thrust of the question about the ad serving is, what about the walled gardens? Obviously, that's a really big, if not the majority of spend for some brands.
It is. It is. And I think there's various level of heights of those walls, right? Whether they're sort of low hedges or very, very high walls. We're at this, I think, a crossroads in many ways in the ecosystem, especially with CTV, is, you know, when more and more of these companies want more capability, at some point they have to decide whether they are going to expose their inventory and the data to the buyers. But we, you know, if you're a large CPG brand or auto brand that works with us today, they want to deliver into every streaming platform. And I think those streaming platforms have to decide if they're going to make their business entirely open or if they're going to obfuscate it in some way, shape, or form. But, you know, we're talking to everyone. We're delivering to almost everyone.
Okay.
The big question in the short, long term is, will everyone be open or will we end up with a bunch of fragmentation with a bunch of different data fields in the future?
Right. Can you give me more specifics though? Like currently, if I'm an InnoVid customer using the ad server, where do I get delivery? Like what are the highlights? Not every partner, but some platforms I could deliver, some platforms I can't deliver, but I get the metrics, and some platforms are just black holes.
Yeah, I don't know if black holes is the right word. So,
okay, fine.
You know, for example, it's a good question. So, you know, there are companies, like, it's public that we work with Disney, right? We've been on stage with Disney. They've announced our capability. Disney likes to build technology, but they also recognize that they need to have their inventory accessible in every environment to every buyer. So, you know, there are some places where Disney is dark. It's not dark to us, and we deliver on behalf of all of our brands that want to buy there as a buy-side ad server. Netflix is a good example of someone who is going on this journey, and they're not quite decided whether or not they're going to accept third-party demand. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what their ultimate decision will be, but it will ultimately be up to brands to let Netflix know that they want to have a single buy with insight across multiple publishers. I can't decide for Netflix, but if I were Netflix, I would want to make sure that their inventory, which I spend a ton of time on personally watching, that it was very clear and very valuable in a platform for brands.
What about YouTube, TikTok, stuff like that?
Sure. And so on YouTube, we help our partners understand sort of what's being delivered into YouTube today. Google is a challenge for everyone in many ways, unless you're Google. And we haven't spent a lot of time on short form. And we haven't spent a lot of time on short form, mostly because the brands haven't asked us.
So for YouTube on, you said we helped them understand. What does that mean? Is there a reporting integration?
Yeah. There's a reporting integration. We have a great relationship with Google and with YouTube. I don't believe, and I could be wrong because I don't know everything. I don't believe anyone is serving into YouTube other than Google.
Yeah, on the sell side, there's some integrations, but they're not really live serving.
Correct.
Okay, awesome. So let's move on to TV Squared. So that was an acquisition you mentioned about 2 years ago. I think of them as sort of advanced analytics, but I'm interested in hearing how you talk about it.
Yeah, the biggest reason for the TV Squared acquisition was to give buyers a view of what's happening across both CTV and linear. And I don't know, you know, 10 years ago, how much TV was purchased on CTV, but a small, probably single digit percentages. Whereas today, it's becoming a much larger and larger mix of buyers. And we heard very loud and clear from our brands that they wanted a view into their investment across both linear and CTV. And so big part of that was insight into things like reach and frequency. How do they understand what's happening from a unique reach perspective, and then ultimately what outcomes are being driven as a result of their investments across everything, right? Not just linear, not just a single CTV publisher, but clear insight across every investment in both modalities. And that was the largest reason for the acquisition, to add on to the investment that we were already making as a business and understanding the impact of every CTV impression delivered.
how does it work? Like, is it a report I get, or is it a subscription, a data feed? Like, give me some more sense of what it's like to be a customer.
It's a software platform with a dashboard that is licensed to our customers, and there's a UI. So you can look at it in very, very high level on a campaign. What did I do for CTV, you know, next to linear? You can look at it at every level of detail on what was delivered, who saw it, and the outcome that you're measuring the platform.
Am I uploading as a buyer? I'm uploading my TV schedule, my buy schedule, and I know where my placements are going to be in linear.
No, we're actually pulling all of that data into one platform for them.
Okay, I see. So you know the brands. Yep. You have the ad logs of what was delivered in which programs, and then you're overlaying, I guess, Nielsen ratings and other data points like that onto the delivery.
No, we're not, you know, in that particular case. So a couple of things. One, it's data that we either license for these insights for a linear perspective, or from a measurement perspective for CTV, it's insights that we already have based on that campaign delivery. We are not overlaying other third-party signals unless the customer wants that, right? So we're not going out and actively buying, you know, Nielsen, for example, or the things, unless the brand wants it. In those cases, we can bring in third-party data. In those cases, we can bring in other signals to sort of overlay on top of what we already see in the platform today.
So you have some data sources like ACR or panel or whatever that you're licensing. And so if I'm a customer of your analytics product, I effectively already see where I ran in linear and some estimates on the audience and the overlap with CTV.
Yeah. So unique reach and overlap of linear CTV, you see it between individual media suppliers. You can look at who specifically, either publishers, networks, or media partners, drive the most or least impact to an outcome. And you can also look at, you know, the immediate impact of creative messaging, right? You can look at by week, you can look at by day, but it's sort of that overall view of, is it web visits? Is it online sales, signups, you know, app activity around what is actually happening with your campaign across both CTV and linear?
So are you modeling conversion and attribution from digital to linear?
So from digital to linear. So it's,
let me ask a question more precisely.
Yeah, no,
sorry. Are you saying that a certain household was exposed to linear ads and then in some way there was ROI or conversion based on that?
Yes, effectively. I mean, we're looking at that across both CTV and for linear.
Got it.
At a household level. Did we see the impact that we were trying to measure, or that the brand, not that we were, but the brand identified as a key measure of their outcome and their success?
And what is the model for this whole suite? Is it's an add-on to the ad server and it's licensed?
You can license measurement separately. So it doesn't need to be served. You know, obviously, if we are serving the campaign at our worst, we should be better than every other measurement company because we see the record of the impression delivered. But our most sort of impactful customers are using this on top of ad serving. But you can buy measurement as a suite entirely separately if you're not an existing Innovid ad serving customer today.
And what's the pricing model?
Pricing model is a mix of either software license fee or software license fee and sort of usage based if it's transaction.
Okay, right.
But it is more, again, it is more of a software based model where it's a license either on a monthly or an annual basis.
What's the ballpark of it? Like, what's the minimum entry level where it's worth calling you for this? The $10,000 a month, $50,000 a month?
The reality is I would love for everyone to have a minimum of $50,000 a month. The reality is, be a great way to improve our ACV overnight.
Yeah.
The reality is that we want to work with brands as they evolve their sophistication and measurement. One. Two, it really depends on their TV spend and what they're investing in. You know.
Okay, so let's move on to Harmony. So Harmony was announced with some fanfare a couple of weeks ago. And at your event in New York, the product managers laid out sort of a roadmap for Harmony with multiple steps. But I want to start by just focusing on what was actually released at the production like 2 weeks ago.
Sure. So at the production, we focused on what we called Harmony Direct. So Harmony Direct is the second product capability of part of the Harmony suite. And one of the ones that we've been working on for a number of years, but we really accelerated about 9 months ago when we saw the opportunity to have a bigger impact on the market and based on where the market was going. So Harmony Direct was the product that we launched, and very simply was the ability to go direct from the buy side ad server, which we just talked about, to the sell side ad server and ensure that more dollars make it through ultimately for the publisher and into working media.
Right. So it's not exactly a programmatic guaranteed replacement, but it's a different way for buyers and sellers to transact one-to-one.
Yeah. It's a different way. I think we would call it the most efficient way because it is going from the most pure path from the buy side ad server to the sell side ad server. If I take a step back though, the reason why we did it is we looked at all of the data that we see and how impressions are delivered through the Innovid platform. And we saw about, you know, if we look at the total stats, about 70% of the impressions that we see are in a non-biddable environment, right? So the decisioning is not bidded. It's transacted and served and reported through Innovid. Of that, about 50% of that total 70% is direct, right? Direct IO. The other 20% of that 70% was programmatic guaranteed. And it's an interesting workflow when you look at what's happening in programmatic guarantee. The campaigns are all being entered in the ad server, in console. All of the decisioning is happening on the sell side, as you know, better than most in the world. And we were copying and pasting effectively, and agencies in some cases, the instructions that were already entered in the ad server back into the DSP or bidder. So if you look at overall, 70% of the impressions we see are non-biddable. Of those, there's a fairly large swath where we are doing the ad serving, but the execution layer is in the DSP today.
Right. Okay. So let's talk. I want listeners to really understand how this product works. So let's say I'm the buyer. I say, yep. Hey, Dave. So first of all, we negotiate offline. So this is not a negotiating platform, right?
No, it's not. Negotiation all happens offline. It's all done. I think you covered this in one of your articles recently. The deals are pre-agreed upon.
Pre-agreed.
Audience targeting shows CPM is all pre-negotiated.
You already took me out for a nice steak dinner, had a couple martinis. We're good. We know what we want. Okay. So now I wake up hungover the next day and I email you, Dave, let's get it going. What do we need to do? What do we need to happen? What's the next step?
In that particular case for a PG deal, we go into the console and we enter all of the details around that campaign and that campaign flight.
The publisher enters that?
No, Innovid. The publisher. So there's two things that happen, right? The deal is agreed upon with the publisher. The publisher knows the duration, the number of impressions, the targeting criteria, the shows, the CPM. That's entered on the publisher side, right?
Publisher ad server, right? In the freewheel or GAM or whatever.
Yeah, whoever they're using, right? All of that capability exists today. That's part of the publisher. So you have two hungover people the next day entering these details on either side, right? Publisher ad server. And then the same thing happens in the buy side ad server, right? Uh-huh. Here is the deal, including the deal ID of all of the things that were agreed upon. But really all you have to enter is the deal ID and flight dates and impressions and things to make sure that you're delivering for that period of time. That's programmatic guarantee.
Okay, so now Innovid is now going to take the ad tag and push it into the publisher ad server for that line item in the publisher ad server. So you said deal ID, which I think is going to confuse people. There's no deal ID here necessarily. There's like a placement ID in the publisher ad server.
Correct.
Right, okay. Correct. So Innovid already integrates with every publisher ad server. So you already have APIs to push ad tags in. So basically the publisher says, here's the line item that represents the deal we agreed to. Innovid pushes the ad tags and it just serves just like old fashioned ad serving.
It just serves. It's in some ways, it's a non-event. It just serves and delivers.
And then at the end of the campaign, billing and reconciliation is the old fashioned way, not through an SSP or a DSP.
Correct.
Okay.
There are ways to improve on that, which we will over time. Right. But yes, like how it clears and who cuts the check, those are all things that just happen the old-fashioned way.
Got it. And then what's Innovid's take and how is it calculated?
So Innovid's take, what we've also changed as part of this is, of course, Innovid takes a fee, right? Yeah. But we're structuring the fee a little differently. We're structuring the fee as a fixed fee based on every impression. So there's CPM. An impression fee. It's a CPM. It's not a take rate, though.
Okay.
So it's not going to be percentage of the media that's transacted. It's going to be a fixed fee CPM on every transaction to do the delivery from the buy-side ad server to the sell-side ad server, which is very, very similar to how we charge today. It's a fixed ad serving fee. There is an additional fee for Harmony Direct to make this transaction.
Right. And who pays it? Buy-side, sell-side, or both?
It can be both. We've started with the buy side predominantly because we know that there's a pretty significant opportunity. But when you remove intermediaries on both sides, because there's no bid and there's no one in the middle, either SSP or DSP, then we're effectively replacing take rate fees on either side with a lower fixed fee on a per impression basis.
Right. In your announcement, you claim there was both a reduction in complexity and an increase in yield on the publisher side. So you claim that publishers are going to make more money doing it this way.
Absolutely. Yeah, we saw that. We've been live for, I guess now, 4.5 months, 5 months now. And we saw two things. So we saw on the buy side, on average, right, we saw about 8% improvement, you know, in working media spend, right? Mm-hmm. So 8% increase in working media because there are more dollars to go to the publisher. Publishers saw about a 15% increase in fill.
Right.
So some went from 90% to 100% as part of this. Now, some of that's just because of other inefficiencies. Some of that could be loss. Some of that could just be the campaign is a lot easier to deliver. And there are, you know, I don't know, what's an internet round trip? 50 to 100 milliseconds. You have two or more or less people, computers in the middle with two less round trips. So 4 times 100 is 400 milliseconds, which starts to add up, right? It's 0.4 of a second.
Totally. And then is there anything in the Harmony roadmap you'd like to talk about on this in this interview? I know you presented a bunch of stuff, but I'm not sure which ones you're talking to the public about.
Yeah. So we're actually talking about four things in the Harmony suite overall. One is instant optimization, which we talk about a little bit in measurement, right? So for the benefit of customers who are using us as a platform, sending those signals back into the delivery and creative platform. Second is Harmony Direct, which we just talked about. The third is real-time signals. So because PG is so focused on a very specific inefficiency that exists in non-biddable, we want to make sure that we don't ignore the other 50% of the ecosystem, which is biddable. And there's a lot of signal that we should be sending back to brands through their DSPs, as well as for publishers and their SSPs. And we have never exposed that signal in real time to buyers or sellers. Right?
So this would be like a real-time reach and frequency optimization at the DSP level.
Correct. It could be used for anything. It could be used for unexposed. It could be used for pricing optimization. It could be used for any number of things.
Interesting.
The other part, so that's sort of the third part of this is real-time signals. And then with that, you can do things like frequency management. Mm-hmm. And are you over-indexing on an audience? Are you under-indexing on an audience? Are you not reaching an audience at all? So we hear it, but the challenge in if you deliver in a, you have multiple environments to deliver through, you have direct, you have programmatic guaranteed, you have bidding, no one really knows other than us who is actually getting an impression at the household level.
Right.
So because we want to push those signals back.
Yeah, basically, because the ad server, you can think of it as having a bigger aperture of data than the DSP. Yeah. Because not everything runs through the DSP.
Correct.
Cool. All right. Let's move on to the lightning round. So some quick questions, quick answers. What is Innovid's number one competitive advantage?
Number one competitive advantage is scale, access to customers, and insights and data exhaust.
Those were three, but that's fine.
I would say it's the last one, right? It's insights and access to data exhaust that we can leverage for brands.
Yeah. Data exhaust, if you're not familiar, is the idea that the data is worth something while you're doing something else. Okay, what is the reason people choose not to use Innovid?
think the reason people choose to not use Innovid is they have a large global investment in another company where either there is a workflow efficiency or an economic benefit to use someone other than us.
I will let the name of that company remain anonymous. And what's your biggest market challenge?
I think our biggest market challenge is also our biggest marketing challenge, which is lack of awareness of the full capability of the company. And people tend to interact with us in one of three ways. You either work with us as a publisher, or you work with us as a brand, or you work with us as an agency. All of those have a different lens on how they look at us. And we need to do a better job of educating the community writ large on our full suite of products.
Got it. Last question. If Innovid was an animal, what animal would it be?
Snow leopard?
What's up?
Great question. I think the biggest thing is it's not an apex predator, but it's not well understood and it's not often seen, but powerful when encountered.
That's a great answer. Dave, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. New interviews are added every week at Marketecture.tv and your favorite podcasting app.